All right, Black Friday means different things to different people, but for many craft beer connoisseurs, it means the highly anticipated release of the renowned Bourbon County Stout lineup of barrel-aged beers through special beer-centric Black Friday specials around the city and across the country. Now, before I introduce our pal from Goose Island, I have a true beer connoisseur in studio with me, and that is the legendary, and he had this slot once before, the legendary Brian Noonan. What's going on, buddy?
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me. This is very exciting. I look forward to the Bourbon County Stouts every year, so yeah. This is to get an advanced taste and a little peek at what's coming. I'm very excited.
When I think of beer, I think of Brian Noonan. Is that wrong?
Well, it's a nice way to put that maybe I need an intervention. Maybe I need to take the first of what could be a dozen steps. I don't know, but I do enjoy beer.
We've got some people in the studio that are going to come in a few minutes. Your lovely wife is here.
That's very nice. Listen, as long as they wait till we try these 8 variants, then they can come in. And by then, I probably won't care what they have to say. So I'm good with that. But this, I know that you've done this now. This is what, your third or fourth year doing this?
Seventh year. Yeah.
So you are
and
all.
You too. This is tradition.
I love it. So now will you, I know you have inns with Goose Island. You've got some people. Will you still be out in a parking lot somewhere Black Friday morning lining up like some people are at the late Toys R Us?
You know what's funny? We're downstate, and the Binnie's that's way downstate never has the crowds as they do up here. So I kind of walk right in and get what I need. It's
but they
crazy.
Still have the beer?
Oh, yeah. At like 9 when I finally get my ass out of bed.
Beautiful.
I know. Isn't that great?
So that's the tip for everybody is travel.
That's right. Exactly right. And you do a beer thing, frequently on your show, too. I mean, just kind of hang out and talk beer.
We do. We have at the breweries, Jesse Valenciana from Goose Island comes in, along with John Carruthers from Revolution, and we talk. They talk about different styles of beer, and they compare different ones, and they'll mention what's going on at Goose and what's going on at Revolution, but it's more to make things accessible, because we go into places, and there's, even with all the knowledge that these guys have passed on to me, there's still styles and words and things that I don't always understand, and I know... Beer is supposed to be for everybody.
Sure.
And so you don't want it to become very exclusive and hoity-toity like wine was for a while. So I think this is a nice way for everybody to learn. And, does it hurt that we get to sample as we learn?
Absolutely not.
I don't think so.
No. We got rides to drive us home, by
exactly.
the way. Yes, we do.
Nice.
Also joining us is our pal Mike Siegel. He's a brewery research and development manager for Goose Island. He's been joining us for years, and he's also here in studio. How you doing, buddy?
Great. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
That is a sweet gig, isn't it?
It is. That is the best job on the planet you have, my friend.
I can't complain.
No.
I can't complain.
At all. Explain what your role is with Goose Island. Kind of what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
So we've got a brewing team including management, our brewmaster, our leads, all of our shift brewers of 37. So it's a very large brewing team. And we encourage everybody to get involved with writing recipes, creating beers. So there needs to be somebody to facilitate. So I'm not the sole idea man that so oftentimes people think. I've got a few ideas every now and again. but really my job is kind of like a project manager to facilitate somebody's recipe, getting it made into our small pilot brewery, and then scale it up potentially.
So do they bring, if they come up with a recipe, do they bring you a sample? Do they brew this at home or somewhere on the premises? Or are they just giving it to you on paper and you say, well, this sounds like it has potential?
Yeah, more of the latter, more of the concept, the recipe. Okay. If they can describe it well and write a recipe well, we can project what it should taste like.
There's a story behind all these beers, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Stories are a big part of what we do. Yeah. That's what we're going to get into here shortly with Bourbon Counties. Absolutely about stories.
So how old is Bourbon County? Because, I mean, obviously there's a legacy behind Goose Island, but how long has Bourbon County been around?
I believe since 1995.
Yeah.
This goes back to the Clybourne Brew Pub up at 1800 North Clybourne, still there. Been there for 30 years. But Bourbon County was Greg Hall's, it was batch 1000 for the pub. He wanted to do something special, and he created this huge beast of a beer, put it into a bourbon barrel. At the time, it was a Jim Beam bourbon barrel that he got from Booker No himself, and off it went. Aged it for about 90 days, and when it came out of the barrel and they poured it, people didn't know what to do with it. Can you imagine in the mid-90s of,
a
12-13% imperial stout? People just couldn't deal with it. They loved the flavors, but it was, we hear the word innovation a lot,
yeah.
And not just in beer, but everywhere. this was a true innovation, something that really hadn't been done before.
And they say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. How do you at Goose feel about now? It seems now everybody has to do a barrel aged beer or a wood aged beer. They're, you know, it, you guys were the innovators, the only game in town, and now it's like, oh yeah, okay,
that's fantastic. You can't go to a brewery in the United, and there's 7,000 plus breweries now. You can't go to a brewery in the United States, to your point, and there's not at least one. The tiniest brewery has at least one bourbon barrel sitting in the corner on the floor, right? So it's. It's great to be a part of this with Bourbon County every year. We've been doing it a long time. We're very proud of the work we do. And we share. We share with other brewers as well that are interested. I did a tour of the brewery today for a German brewer. Now, bourbon barrel-aged beers are not typical in Germany at all. But he said, he's like, we've got eight barrels. You know, we're starting. He saw our many thousands.
Oh, he's trying. Okay.
So this is, it's a global thing now. It's not just the U.S.,
So beer's your life. Like, what do you drink on a regular basis? Like, if you're just going to be sociable and have a beer, what do you drink?
Pilsner.
Okay. Really?
Great. You know, something's rather sessionable. A more sessionable stout as well. When the weather gets cold, I tend to go a little bit more for the darker beers, but more sessionable. You know, these are very special beers. The Bourbon Counties, they're also high alcohol, so they're very much sipping beers. Yes. So I'm talking, when I say sessionable, I'm talking about something that's about 5% alcohol. Right.
How about you, Bry?
It depends on the time of year. Now I go into, I'm not barrel-aged stouts all the time, but I like brown ales, I like porters. I like a more malty beer, so this is my time of year.
Okay,
When we get into the summer, I think part of the problem I have with like IPAs that everybody drinks is people have gone overboard. And Mike, you've run into this. I just had... as a matter of fact, the other night I had a couple of the dry hop 312s and that you guys gave out for the marathon, and those were delicious. So there's certain if the people don't go crazy with the hop, we got to put in 8,000 hops, then I can't drink them.
Gotcha.
And so I always long for this time of year.
See, I'm a Green Line guy, like I like that. But in the summertime at a baseball game, I'm gonna have an Old Style. I can't help myself.
Oh sure. Yeah,
it's old school, right?
I'll drink Old Style. I'll throw down to, you know, every a light. God forbid, but if I need, if I'm somewhere and that's what's there, and you're going to be drinking for a long time and sweating,
they call them lawnmower beers for a reason.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
You're sweating. You just want something refreshing. You don't need. You don't always need something challenging. You just want something that's going to go down.
Like they said in Shawshank Redemption, sometimes a guy just needs a cold suds.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Bourbon County, though, is one of those things that, okay, now it's really talked about this time of year, but then I try to stock up as much as I can so that, like, in February, I, like, take out the bottle and I almost hear, like, a choir singing and I put it on the bar. And I might have just a little bit of it, then I'll have a little bit the next night or whatever and just kind of sip it and enjoy it. This is a really special brew.
And plenty of people do that same thing. They call it cellaring it, right? So you're putting it in your cool cellar, like a bottle of wine. These beers can age very well, favorably. Almost all beer is meant to be consumed fresh, right? You want to drink it fresh. This beer being a dark beer, being a high alcohol beer, those are both two factors in making a beer that can have some longevity to it, many years, in fact.
Okay.
We say the beer is ready right now, out of the gate, but for many years, these beers can be enjoyed.
Sure. 8 variants this year. That's probably the most that you've ever had.
Definitely.
Yeah. And Prop Day was last weekend, and that's when you introduce it to really your greatest fans.
It's a ticketed event that sells out. I think we get probably 10 times as many people wanting a ticket as that we can actually provide one for. So it's a great event. We do just a few events at the brewery every year, and they're generally pretty big. That's our big kind of fall leading into winter event right before Black Friday.
So Brian and I are tasting these for you as you're listening, folks. This is our job. This is our, we're doing this for you.
Right. We're taking a bourbon barrel bullet so you don't have to.
You have the best job in the world.
Yes, we do. Everybody at home now is sitting by the radio. Why can't we be there?
You kids.
So. I know those guys. Why can't they invite me down?
So we're going to start off with the wheat wine. Give us a little thoughts on that one.
Yeah, and we're going to go in the order I picked that I've been doing for our tastings based on flavor intensity. Now, even the wheat wine is very big and bold in flavor, but we're going to be working our way up in flavor intensity towards the end. I chose the wheat wine because it's the most stripped down Bourbon County that we've ever done. It's not a stout. It doesn't have any dark malts, as you can see. It doesn't have any caramel malts like our barley wine does. It's really, it's pale malt, and it's getting its color from a very long boil and the age, the aging time in the barrel.
I still taste that flavor, but it's a lot lighter going down and in your mouth as you're taking it down.
And there's a caramel or a butterscotch feel as it goes. You get the flavor, but there's also that, there's like that, I want to say sticky and thick, but those aren't really adjectives that people go, oh, that sounds delicious. But it is. Trust me, when you pop a butterscotch in your mouth, you know what I'm talking about. It's that, it's
a little bit of Werther's.
Feel. Yeah,
Werther's
exactly.
Original. I use the same word. Butterscotch generally isn't used in a positive way with beer, but in this case, I think it's right on. It's a great descriptor. Vanilla, caramel, some fruitiness, a little bit of cherry. But that butterscotch note, that kind of Werther's Original, just really carries through.
And do you think the bourbon, you on a lot of the bourbon barrel, you get that, you really get hit, the bourbon hits you, which is what it's supposed to do. This, it's a more subtle.
It is subtle.
You know, underneath. Yeah. It's
in
there.
In a nice way. I like it. Yeah.
I think one of the reasons that the Bourbon County lineup does so well and so appealing to people is there's residual sweetness in body. I mean, it literally coats your mouth. And that helps go up against the whiskey, the alcohol, right? If you've got a lighter bodied beer or a lower alcohol beer, the bourbon and the booziness can overwhelm the beer. Here, it's striking that balance.
So what's your thoughts behind the wheat wine and doing this and doing it the lightest kind of stripped down way you've ever done it? You think this will introduce people to the brand that maybe have not had it before, that maybe don't like a stoutier, you know, beer?
Potentially. Yeah. This was an idea from one of our R&D brewers, Tim Faith. He brewed it a couple of years ago, put it into a barrel, and then aged it for a year. And then he had a proof of concept. We were talking about recipes on a piece of paper.
Right.
He actually provided a beer in a glass and worked on it for a year and provided it to us and said, what do you think? We said, thumbs up. Let's make it next
year.
There's
some passion there.
So that's
like
how
that,
it started.
Right?
Yeah. That's how it started. And but yes, I think it does. It shows people that, you know, even though stout is what's associated with Bourbon County, we can do more than
that. And it still falls under the umbrella.
Yeah.
It's really good, and it does look just like an amber. So
it does.
If people who are some people are get very nervous when they look at one of the Bourbon County
stouts
because they're so dark. Yes, it does look like bourbon, and it tastes delicious. All right, just to get this out of the way, because these beer, you can hear Dave is going. He's he's treating it like a chalice. But
can we drink, please?
Should we drink them out of a certain type of Obviously, we're not drinking these out of the bottles.
Good point.
But people have. Oh, I have a beer glass at home.
Not that maybe I would. That's not I wouldn't be ashamed to.
No, I would. Listen, I have a straw in one of the bottles here. I'm not, and it's a curly straw because I'm fun when I drink.
It's a great question. And I think temperature is really important as well.
Yes.
So get yourself a nice snifter. And
do I need a smoking jacket?
It would be nice.
I know that's what they
would be welcome.
Ascot. Oh, really?
Ascot.
All right. Ascot.
Yeah.
All right.
You
but you really want to, assuming these are in the fridge, pull them out of the fridge a half hour or more even before you're going to drink it. Let it attemperate. We really want that more than 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay. We're probably 55 encroaching on 60 here. And I think it's just going to open the beer up so much more. You don't want it cold. You don't want it as cold as a lager, in
here,
a can out of the fridge.
You're not tasting the cold. You don't want to taste cold. You want to taste everything else.
So Tom was telling us here off air that you take it out a little bit in advance because you want it to kind of settle in a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, take it out. Like I said, take it out 20, 30 minutes before you're going to drink it. And then, it's going to be at a temperature where you can really enjoy it.
And now we got the original Bourbon County Stout. That's what's next. So we're going from the lightest to the original.
The original, the most important beer we make every year. Like we talked about earlier, we've been making it since the mid-90s, Greg Hall's recipe. We make it at our Fulton Street Brewery just a couple of miles away. It takes more than a year to make the supply that we send out over throughout the U.S. and sell in one day on Black Friday.
Wow.
It takes more than a year to make one day's worth of beer. So it's an incredibly important beer for us. Again, our most important beer. We have to get this beer right every year, right? Like I said, we're carrying Greg Hall's legacy. We're carrying the torch now, and this beer means so much to us and certainly to thousands of people, if not tens of thousands throughout the country and now the world. So we have to get this beer right and there's going to be little differences each year.
Yeah.
Right?
Where do those differences come? Obviously, the barrels probably give some difference, but where do the rest of the differences come from?
We got a little bit more roasty. Again, the recipe stays the same, but again, the different distilleries, barrels, different you know, placement in the warehouse. It's any number of factors. We're going into the barrel a little bit higher in alcohol than years past, which means that the beer's just a little bit drier, a little less sweetness, but just a tiny bit. I think it makes the roastiness pop a little bit more.
But they age, too. I mean, they're 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, now they're going to taste fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely. We put a Best Buy 5 year mark on the bottle. Wow, so, and they like can go that. They can go much longer than that, for sure.
Good
so
for you if you could let it sit for 5 years.
Right? Yeah, right. That's a challenge right there. That is a
not
challenge.
Not happening in my house.
I have family that on Thanksgiving Day, you know, they listen to this interview, and they're all like, oh, he's bringing the new bourbon. Kind of like, oh, no, I got to taste it.
Yes.
I'm not bringing it with me. I don't get that kind of privilege. But I will go out and seek out a couple months before. I will go find some 17s and 16s and 15s.
Okay.
And I will just slowly throw them in a case. So I have 12 of them that I bring over. And that is our post-dinner with a cigar.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I like how you hang. Wow. That is very nice. Now, there's two different... You guys use two different sources for your barrels on this batch. You used Buffalo Trace, and then you used Heaven Hill. People who don't know spirits, and myself included, I don't know a lot about them, but because of the different types of bourbon that were in those barrels, that's going to change. So somebody might get one bottle that was aged in the Buffalo Trace, and that's going to taste a little bit different, right?
Well, it ends up being about 75% Heaven Hill and 25% Buffalo Trace, so not in equal quantities. And each one of these releases is a blend of many hundreds of barrels.
Oh, okay.
So by all accounts, what we're really shooting for is an average age, meaning, you know, our minimum in the barrel, minimum time in the barrel is about 8 months. We're up to about 14 months, but we're going to use some 8 month and some 14 month and, you know, a little in between, and really shoot for more of like an 11 month average age of the blend.
And we have to tell folks, too, this isn't the normal alcohol content of a normal beer either, right?
Correct. Yeah, all these are about 15%.
Yeah, which is significant. But the reserve, it's 12-year-old barrels that we're talking about here.
Yeah, the reserve series we started last year with Knob Creek. This year we're continuing it with Elijah Craig. Heaven Hill's the distillery, and one of their premium bourbons is Elijah Craig. Now, you can get Elijah Craig small batch all over the country. It's a very accessible bourbon, excellent bourbon. They also make, three times a year, they release a what they call a barrel-proof version of Elijah Craig. And what that means is it's uncut. You know, normal bourbon is 80 proof, you know, 80 proof, 90 proof, 94 proof, maybe 100 proof. Barrel strength is like 128 proof. It's very high alcohol. You're getting the experience of drinking from the barrel, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, this whiskey won World Whiskey of the Year from Whiskey Advocate last year. This is international whiskey, including Scotch, Irish, Canadian, Japanese. So it's the reigning World Whiskey of the Year from Whiskey Advocate. So it's a pretty high mark. We didn't know that at the time when we filled the barrels. We just got some great Heaven Hill 12-year-old barrels in. We said, it's going to make a great Bourbon County Stout. We found out about halfway through the aging that it won this. And so we teamed up with Heaven Hill and Elijah Craig to do a co-branded release. So it'll get a box. It's getting the Elijah Craig brand on it. So it's a really official co-branded release.
Cool.
We've got a great partnership with them.
Very smooth, very clean.
It is.
Right?
For those who haven't had this before, there is a smoothness over the original. That's not an indictment on one or the other.
Yeah.
What else, because the bourbon in these barrels was 12 years old, how is that going to change for the uninitiated? If I'm sitting in front of you and I have a bottle of original and a bottle of reserve, what should I be looking for?
Sure, and thanks for highlighting that. It's more or less the same time in the barrel, the same recipe, the same beer going in, the same aging warehouse. It's really the difference because the original is 4 to 6 year old barrels. Mm-hmm. This is all 12-year-old barrels, so it's about twice. The whiskey was about twice as old.
Right.
If you talk to master distillers, master blenders, they will say that 8 to 12 years is really the sweet spot for bourbon, right?
Okay.
So 12-year-old bourbon is a magical thing. You're going to get more oak, of course. And that could come across as kind of coconut oak lactone. It could come across as vanilla from the vanillin. I get kind of more enhanced fruity notes like cherry, blackberry. We tasted a barrel both of whiskey and of the Bourbon County Stout that had citrus notes, which isn't common. I wouldn't say it's a common character in Bourbon County Stout, but it is there. It can be there. So I think if people get the opportunity, get a bottle of the original and the reserve, Get some of your best friends around and do a side by side,
and then pretend like you're doing your own radio
That's
show.
Right. That's
you get a microphone,
put some headphones on, put your Beats on at home, and then
That's right.
pretend you're doing the show.
That's right. Before we get a break, we're going to do one more. But if you want to drive Brian or I home, 312-981-7200 would be great. We're going to do the Midnight Orange is the next one here.
Yeah, Midnight Orange. So this is a result of a little internal competition we do every year to create. Get brewers to create new ideas. And that starts really at the beginning of the year. They submit, in this case, again, Brian, going back to what you were saying earlier, they're submitting a very small amount, usually about a liter okay. of Bourbon County Stouts. We give them the original, say, go home, you got a couple of weeks.
Play.
Throw some ingredients, yeah. you know, throw fruits and vegetables and, you know, pies and cakes or whatever you're going to put in there, but bring it in and you're going to present it. Blindly, we don't know whose is whose.
Okay.
It's just a list of ingredients. So you just have a yeah. jar in front of you with a list of ingredients, and we've got score sheets. We do a number score, we do feedback, and we do a series of rounds. The idea is to give the brewers feedback. Oh, this was great. Maybe a little bit less cinnamon, a little bit more cocoa, etc. You get the point. Mm. And so, two of these this year came out of that: the Proprietors and the Midnight Orange. Midnight Orange was actually a co-creation from one of our lab analysts, Paul Levens, and one of our brewers, Oscar Sanchez. So Paul was inspired by the orange chocolate candy that his grandma gave him around the holidays, and Oscar inspired by an orange mocha drink, coffee drink down in Mexico.
And so, I talked to Paul and Oscar about it. Let's take a listen.
So a lot of it's inspired by, you know, working in the past, the last few years working on prop, and you know, myself included, everybody always has a number of different ingredients they're trying to put into a variant, and they're always trying to find the right balance. And I think this year I kind of drew inspiration from vanilla in the past and coffee in the past, where each of those highlights a different flavor in the beer, vanilla from the barrel, coffee from the malt. And I just ran with chocolate as another flavor that's in this beer and wanted to just amplify it as much as possible and really, I guess, blow it up. And I really think that it came across really well. I like to tell people it's like a boozy brownie, an adult brownie. I'm really happy with the way it turned out from, you know, the first trial to the final product that we're going to have in the market.
What I find really unique about this is, and somebody told me this at the Prop Day event, is that let it kind of sit with you mm-hmm. a little bit. And, man, you really get that flavor. If you're drinking it too quickly and just taking it down, you're not capturing everything.
Mm-hmm.
You immediately grab the chocolate, and then this orange comes around, and then yeah. the bourbon. I mean, it's just right.
I love it because it does. I like my grandmother used to get those chocolate covered orange slices,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and so as I leave this in, like you said, Dave, you get the chocolate first, then that citrus comes, and the bourbon is always there.
In
all of these,
yeah,
you get that bourbon, but it's the chocolate and the orange that comes in. And as I was reading the descriptions, this is the one I was really excited about trying just because it sounds so different.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not aware of another brewery that's done another orange bourbon barrel stout. They may be out there, but I'm unaware of it. We've been kicking this idea around for a number of years, and finally we said this is it. This is the year to do it. And when you think about it, after you taste it and you think about flavors and you think about whiskey cocktails that might have orange in them,
mm-hmm.
like old fashioned or whatnot.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. I talked to somebody about that yesterday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the bourbon and the orange do create a bit of a harmony that
yeah.
if you've had a cocktail like that before, it yeah. takes you to that. And the orange isn't overpowering. It was, you know, it's meant to be kind of layered in there, and we're really happy with it.
All right, it's Dave Player along with Brian Noonan here on 720 WGN. We're talking to Mike Siegel from Goose Island about the highly anticipated Bourbon County Stout release. And we're about to try the barley wine, which is actually one of my favorites this year. I really enjoyed the flavor of some of this.
The coffee barley
yeah,
wine.
Yeah, the coffee
so
barley
we,
wine, yeah.
We pivoted and we've been releasing the coffee stout, mm-hmm. the Bourbon County Coffee Stout for, I think it was our original variant going back to 2009 potentially. And it's always with our next-door neighbors, Intelligentsia.
Intelligentsia, which has yeah. been a part of this for a long time.
They are awesome. They are the coffee experts. So we decided to pivot away from the stout this year. And we've done the barley wine, the Bourbon County barley wine, for a number of years. So we kind of merged the two together. I've got a great story on that. Going back to The Festival of Wood and Barrel-Aged Beers. I don't know if you guys have ever been, but it's coming up here next week. It's a big national competition for barrel-aged beers held here right in Chicago. We were doing an event a number of years ago, 2013, when one of our activation guys, this is the time they loved the Randall, this device that you can kind of pack ingredients into a draft beer tower and on the fly be able to infuse your beer with something. So he had packed it full of coffee beans, and he had meant to do Bourbon County coffee kind of live.
Sure.
Well, instead of tapping the stout, he tapped the barley wine, our first barley wine he made that year. And he brought it over to me and he said, you know, what do you think? It's, you know, kind of like a happy accident. I said, tastes great. Let's go with it. And people loved it. It kind of got some buzz at that festival. And we put it on the back burner until this year and said, you know what? Let's go back to that idea of taking coffee into our barley wine. The barley wine doesn't have the roast dark malts that the stout does, but of course you get a lot of that from coffee itself. So,
For people who may be listening for the first time, not to Dave's show, but to the Bourbon County stout stuff.
You never know.
Explain what barley wine is. Explain the difference between a stout and a barley wine. Please.
Barley wine goes back, as a lot of these styles go back to England. A barley wine, it was a wine of barley, a higher alcohol malt beverage. And so Bass, if you remember the brewery Bass, you don't hear much about them these days, but they were making an old ale, and they one day, and this is kind of the turn of the 19th into the 20th century, decided to rebrand their old ale into a barley wine. Okay. And they really just invented something. They just, you know, coined a phrase. What it really means in brewing terms is a very malty, malt-driven. But it's not a stout. A stout has got darker malts, roasted malts, roasted that are roasted like coffee, right? So you get a lot of those kind of cocoa roast notes. This, as you can see, it's quite dark, but it doesn't have any of those. It's got a lot of sweetness and a lot of breadiness. It's a big high alcohol beer. It's an English barley wine, meaning it's not very hoppy. American barley wines tend to be very hop forward as well, in addition to being malty.
This is 15% alcohol.
Yeah,
15.1.
That's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah,
these are big ones.
You can say that about all these.
We're only halfway through. Is that right, Dave? Is that we're only halfway through?
You're an attractive man.
Listen.
All right.
We're going to turn the lights down a little bit more in here because maybe. Oh, let's change the colors.
Let's change the colors for the last four. We could do that if you're watching at WGNRadio.com.
Yeah, Mike. Would you like a different color light?
We could do hues. We could do hues in here.
What light color goes well with a barley wine, coffee barley wine? I do like people, and Dave, maybe you've had this. You'd say, oh, we're going to try this. It's a coffee. And people are like, I don't want coffee.
Right.
But this.
And I'm not a coffee drinker. Like, I despise coffee.
Really?
And I love this. Yeah. No,
see,
I'm a
because
tea guy.
That's leading to what
tea.
I was going to say. The coffee is there.
Yeah.
None of these flavors. And Mike, you can speak to this. When we talk about all the different flavors that we've talked about so far, none of them overpower.
No.
You know, so you're not like, I don't like butterscotch, so I'm not going to drink that. Oh, just wait?
We're ramping up.
Here we go.
Hey, we're ramping up.
When you do eight releases, you can have a lot of range.
Right.
And we have a lot of conversations in the brewery about this exact topic, about nuance versus kind of bold, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we cover it. Both ends of the spectrum, and we're going to get to the last few are pretty bold.
So the proprietors is the big one every single year. This one was Brian LeGros, and I actually talked to him on Prop Day. Here's a little insight into this year's brew.
Both of us came up with it through different inspirations. Mine, my grandma would always put the chocolate oranges, those candies that you smack on the table, gives you little slices. She would always put that in my Christmas stocking. So when I was thinking of what worked with the Bourbon County profile, that was the first thing that really came to mind for me.
My inspiration came from an orange mocha drink that I had when I was on vacation in the Yucatan. It was just very orangey, very chocolatey. It had other things in it. It had like cinnamon and whatnot in it. But those are just, it reminded me of like, on the same line as what Bourbon County is, like, the flavors could actually work well together. So I just came back, after my vacation, I came back and started, you know, messing around with some of those things.
The two most limited of these eight are the Reserve and the Proprietors.
You deserve something, Brian, in Chicago.
Of course,
that's
we
just
do.
Ours,
Listen,
right?
Yeah. This in the winter, Old Man Grumpy in the summer, and we're good to go. Just keep everything
Bob's open. Your uncle. So the Proprietors, as I'm sure Brian touched on, was... Kind of triple chocolate was the idea.
Yeah.
And we used two different types of cocoa nibs, one that was kind of more earthy, dark chocolate profile, one that was more of a lighter milk chocolate profile. And then we actually used chocolate itself, 55% dark chocolate.
There's always a whiff downtown. We've talked about the smells of the city before, a Bloomer's chocolate coming through the city. That's what I feel like when I'm getting a little bit of this, is I get a nice wave of chocolate.
This is like if Hershey bars were targeted just to grown-ups.
Yeah, I would say so.
Oh,
I like
my
that.
Goodness.
Yeah. Well, Anderson's Candy, they're a sponsor on the show.
Sure, we love Anderson's Candy.
We'll have to say Anderson's Candy.
Nothing beats this treat, Dave.
That's right.
Nothing beats this treat.
That's right. That's right.
No, it's so again, part of that internal competition that we have every year. We love the idea in its simplicity. It's just layers of chocolate flavor.
Wow.
And sometimes, you know, it doesn't mean it's easier to make.
So
it was a tough one to make, but we really love the profile of it.
Can I heat this up and drink it as hot chocolate in the morning?
A little hot toddy. Go
pour
for it.
Pour a little in your thermos in the morning.
Sure.
I like that. Go to work.
Just hot chocolate, folks.
Yeah, please.
What can I tell you?
Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Last year, Brian and I, one of our favorites was the Northwoods. And that was kind of had that blueberry. And probably, I would say, pretty highly sought after, even from last year.
Yeah, that
was very hard to find. Very hard to find. So I'm really excited about these. This is the Bramble Rye Stout and the vanilla one coming up. Let's talk about the Bramble Rye.
Bramble Rye is actually a throwback for us. We first made it in 2012. So this is a re-release of, this is aged in rye whiskey barrels. So the cousin of bourbon barrels, right? Rye whiskey. And we aged the beer for the better part of a year. This is the Bourbon County Stout base beer into rye whiskey barrels. And then we blended it with raspberries and blackberries from Michigan and blackberry juice from Yakima, Washington. So big, big fruit flavor.
So what goes into the research of actually finding the right fruits? I mean, how long does that process alone take? Because you want to find the right partner for some of this stuff, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. The Mick Klug Farm. We've been using their fruit for a number of beers for a number of years. They're about 100 miles away from here in Chicago, in Sawyer, Michigan. And then the Yakima Valley in Washington is just, you know, it's just bountiful with fruit. So we spare no expense. We really do a lot of research to get the best quality ingredients. And that goes for anything here.
Now, I have to say, I love the original Bourbon County Stout. But the vanilla, I wasn't sure if I was going to like the vanilla. I love the vanilla.
Oh, thank you.
That is absolutely, you know, I don't want to say it's my favorite because I don't, you know, the Midnight Orange really surprised me as well.
We haven't gotten to vanilla.
And
yet,
we're getting there.
All right.
But generally, I don't like fruity beers and so forth, but I think the Northwoods changed my mind last year.
Right. And I like this, the Bramble Rye, because you do get, again, the hint of the blueberries. You get the hint of the fruit.
Blackberries.
Yeah. Blackberries.
Blackberries and raspberries, yep.
Yeah, blueberries was last year.
Yes, sir.
But because I don't like fruit, I'm like, I don't like fruity. I don't like sours.
Right.
I don't like any of that. But this has just that tiny hint of fruit that you go, it works perfect.
So I'm now very excited for Brian to try the vanilla.
I can't wait.
I want to hear what you say about this because this was ridiculously surprising to me last week.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we made vanilla in 2010. We made it again in 2014. So we're on pace for every 4 years. It is probably the most asked for variant ever. So we like to deliver every now and again.
Yeah.
Last time we did it was in rye barrel, so it was vanilla rye. This one is in bourbon barrel, so it's just our vanilla in Bourbon County Stout. So it's the original beer that we add vanilla beans to.
It's candy. Dangerously
so
candy.
Good.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It's like I'm devouring the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. It's... And I'm coming out with an incredible warm buzz at the end of it. It's
I would love to get a painting of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just me diving out of off a building.
Yeah, that's very graphic. I love that. I was to say, like, you know, the Watkins vanilla, you know, extract. That's what I feel like I'm just kind of having with bourbon and beer. It is
You're much classier than me.
it's so good
because everything is subtle.
Yeah.
It's not like you're eating French vanilla ice cream, but
no. How many beers have you had that it's overpowering? This is just the right balance, right?
It works. Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, and we use whole vanilla beans. The reason we use whole vanilla beans is because we get layers of flavor. So the kind of classic vanilla character, that Madagascar vanilla of your vanilla ice cream or whatnot, that marshmallow. We get that initially, and then a couple days later, we start to get these kind of fruity elements from the bean. The bean itself provides a lot of flavor, and then some of these like leathery, earthy elements that really help balance out the kind of very fruity.
And there's a tiny bit of chocolate in this, in it too.
Well, there's no added chocolate, but I think there's an implication of chocolate. Add vanilla, there's it implies kind of chocolate bar, right? So our brains immediately go to, if I taste vanilla, there must be this additional piece. Yeah. So it's we love working with these flavors.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
Oh, man.
Yeah, good stuff here. There's also, you always do this on prop day too, but there's always some connections that you have to some of these flavors. There's a bourbon kind of syrup that you always feature there, but there's cigars from Up Down Cigar. And I talked to the folks from there. Very interesting how they pull all this together.
So this is a project we've been working on with Goose Island for a little over 3 years now. They've been supporting the store for over 15 years. Basically what happens is as soon as they drain the barrels for BCS, they send a few of them to us. We cut a little hole in the end that's kind of at a beveled angle so we can reseal them. Take the cigars, take them out of cello, age them inside the barrels. About 4 days in the barrel, they absorb all the moisture from the whiskey and the beer that was in the staves. Take them out for a few days to rest them, otherwise they'll get way too wet. Put them back in, keep rotating them through for this batch is about 2 months total. And basically all the flavoring comes out just from the moisture. All the moisture they get is just from what's in the barrel, so they just absorb it like a sponge. The base cigar is from the Dominican Republic. It's got an Ecuador Habano wrapper, which has some nice spice to it, and then Dominican binder and filler. So it's a light side of medium, and then it gets a ton of sweetness from the moisture that's in the wood and from the whiskey and the beer, so it's a really cool combo. When you first light it, you'll get a ton of the sweetness, and then the tobacco starts to flavor in more and more as you smoke it, so you get a really nice mix of everything.
Brian, you're a cigar guy?
I love cigars.
Yeah. So this feel, I mean, you taste the bourbon. You taste the bourbon county in this cigar. It's great to have. Actually, when you're actually drinking the bourbon.
They barrel age the cigars, I believe.
Yeah, they do.
We need to get one of these green rooms turned into a cigar lounge.
Do. Yeah, it's BS.
The words are starting to come a little harder after we're 8 variants.
There's too many private conference rooms here. Something's got to change.
We don't need another huddle room. We need a cigar lounge. That's what we need. Yeah. Come on, Dave. Right. You've got some pull. Make it happen.
We'll take it out of Rokon's budget.
Yeah, we'll take it out. As we're looking at his liquor cart.
His Carnarvon wagon.
Wagon right outside there. Exactly. Here's a really cool thing about Goose Island, too, is you can be part of this experience. You can actually do tours at the brewery as well.
Yeah, 1800 West Fulton. We've got a tap room that's open Wednesday to Sunday. Public tours Thursday to Sunday. So come on by.
Now, you mentioned Black Friday. Once this Black Friday hits and these 8 variants are released, you're already looking at next year.
Yeah.
These employees who've come up with these wonderful ideas for these variants, they get a little bump. What do they get? They get a car. They don't just get a couple bottles, do they?
They get a handshake that says you've done it. They get a couple of cases. So each
that's
extra.
That's critical. Yes. You can sell that
on the black market.
So everybody in the company gets a nice amount of Bourbon County around the holidays.
Is that right? Nice.
And and then the brewers that create these get a couple extra cases just to, send to their parents and brag.
Can I add?
It's important. Oh, yeah.
Because, and Dave, I'm sure you've asked this before. Employees are bringing these ideas to you. Not all ideas are fantastic. Without naming anyone
How did the Brussels sprout thing go?
I was thinking, because Mike said fruits and vegetables and Brussels sprouts was the first thing that popped into my mind.
Like,
Brussels sprout bourbon? Yeah. What's the worst idea you've had?
We had Thanksgiving dinner
what's
in a glass.
What's the worst idea? Pringles
just did a Thanksgiving in a cup. They've got a stuffing, a turkey, and a cranberry.
That sounds all right with Pringles. I don't know if it sounds okay with beer.
Not as much with beer. No, I don't want a turkey.
But you talk about bread feel a lot, so the stuffing.
Szechuan peppercorns. You ever had a Szechuan peppercorn? It basically turns your mouth numb.
No.
Yeah, I don't want to. Not in a good way.
Yeah. Okay.
Too much.
We get probably, I'd say we get 60, 75 submissions each year. So we're whittling it down to a couple is oftentimes tough. Easy and sometimes tough.
What about a s'mores?
Ooh,
or we get,
I like that
because
you've already
vanilla,
got,
chocolate,
yeah, you've
right,
already got
right?
the vanilla. You've got the chocolate.
I'm just going to pour these two together.
Yeah, can we do that?
No,
we,
I don't want to do that.
What do you call that when you mix two beers? There's a term for that.
You could call it blending. So what people have done, and I'm not I'm kind of neutral on this. What some people have done is take the midnight orange and the vanilla and blend them together to make a creamsicle.
Ooh.
Now, David, as a brewer.
Mike, turn your back. We've got some, we got some things we got to try here.
Leave the room just for a minute. Really, just for a minute.
We need a beaker. Does anyone have a beaker? We've got some experimenting to do.
Beaker.
50 milliliters here, 50 milliliters there. Yeah. So, you know, we.
Well, brewers, put his lab coat on. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah. The beers are out there now. You know, they're bottled. They're getting ready for release. So, what people do with them at that point is up to them.
But people have to remember, this is Black Friday, and people are lining up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They're at midnight. They're waiting in line to get this thing.
Sometimes 2 days.
Yeah, 2 days.
We had people 2 days.
Do you ever walk by these people and shake your head and just go, it's good, it's fantastic beer, but seriously,
go meet your family.
Yeah, go meet with your family.
Please, Grandma's going to die soon.
I don't have a family, Dave. Beer is my family.
Grill roasting a turkey in the parking lot of Benny's.
That's actually good. So tailgating at Benny's, that could be fun.
People do it. People do it.
All right, and for more information, because I know you have a lot of events around each town and each city as well, they can just go to gooseisland.com and get all that information, right?
I think they can get a lot of information at gooseisland.com. They can also go to their local retailers to ask if they're going to get Bourbon County Stout. They would know by now. Again, talk to your local retailer in your neighborhood, in your area. If you're not in Chicago, if you're further downstate or whatnot, anywhere across the country, I know WGN has a wide reach. So go talk to your retailer now and ask if they're going to get Bourbon County Stout and what time the release is going to happen.
Mike, do you base... I know you're already, you know, you're probably already thinking about next year's variants. Do you base that on the response to the year before? Not this year's, because they haven't come out yet. Do you base them on 17's response, or is it all just everything's new, except for the original, obviously, and the reserve?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. I think we are in our own bubble to a certain degree, but yes, it's... we do start work on these things pretty much now, so they haven't been officially released. You know, we've got a lot of confidence in what we are releasing this year, so we kind of know some of the new directions we've gone. We're going to go again.
You'll probably do okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, there's a little bit of this and that, and but we are our own little bubble. We've got a great team. Barrel-aged stouts are a big thing in this country, not just us, but a lot of breweries do, and a lot of them are doing Black Friday releases, which I think is awesome. It's nice to have started something. That's really, gets people passionate.
Mike Siegel, thank you so much
for having me.
Thanks, it's been great.
This was a blast.
Thank you for having me.
Let's do this every week.
Listen, that'd be fine. I'll come in my jammies if that's okay.
That's okay
with me. Because I remember this time slot, sometimes you get a little sleepy.
A little bit.
This was so much fun. I really appreciate you having me in.
Fun hanging out with you, buddy. All right, everybody, it's 720 WGN.